Matthew 23, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you only have one master, and you are all brothers. And you do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray for a moment. God, we thank you that tonight we can come to church together. God, we can come into your presence. And as we worship you, God, as we praise you, as we open your word, God, and as we read it, God, we pray that you would draw near to us. God, we pray that you would teach us, that you would challenge us, that you would guide us. God, we pray that tonight, God, as I share the message that you've placed in my heart, that you would speak and let it be you and not myself. In Jesus' name. Amen. The kids want to go on out to their activities. Be the best that you can be. If you want that promotion, if you want to win, whatever you want, just go and get it. Be on top. It doesn't matter about anybody else. You do what you have to do to look after yourself. Life, after all, is all about you. We see that everywhere today, don't we? That's kind of the culture that we live in nowadays. When it comes down to it, yes, care about other people, but at the end of the day, you are all that matters. We see that everywhere that we go. That's the culture that we live within. And yet we as Christians, we as the church, are called to live differently. We're called to live in a different way, live by a different culture. Because for us as the church, for us as Christians, life is not about us. Life is not about me winning, me being on top. It kind of was the other night on Friday when we were playing the football match against the Overs. Had to put that in somewhere. But life is not all about me, myself, and I. For us as a church, for us as Christians, life is about God. And life is about others. We're looking in church in the evenings over the next number of weeks at this series, looking at how we need to surrender in order to win. Looking over the next number of weeks about different things, different aspects of our life that we need to give up, that we need to surrender over to God in order for us to win. Now that sounds strange because if you think of winning, if you think of winning, you don't think of giving up. Giving up is normally associated with losing and ending in defeat. But when we surrender our all to God, when we give up every aspect of our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, when we give it all over to Him, we become winners because He takes control. And so we're looking at this series, looking at how we need to surrender in order to win. And tonight, I'm going to look a wee bit about how we need to say no to pride. This thing of pride, this thing that if we're all really honest with ourselves, myself included, I saw about football, I'm a very, very competitive person. For all of us, pride sometimes can creep in. For all of us, we can become self-absorbed and just focus on ourselves, wanting to do things the way we want it to be done, just thinking about ourselves. Pride is a universal problem. No matter where you go, you will always meet people that are just absorbed by themselves. It's a heart issue. It's a selfish issue, getting caught up in pride. The dictionary describes it as this: a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. You get deep pleasure and satisfaction from yourself and the things that you can achieve rather than others. You feel great about yourself because of yourself, for yourself. Life can so easily become about us. And yet the Bible is so clear in how it tells us that we need to lay aside pride. Pride needs to be something in our life that we say no to. It's something that we need to surrender. And when we do that, in the eyes of God, we become winners. I said pride is a heart issue. And here in Matthew 23, where Jesus decides to address the crowd and shine a bit of light on the Pharisees. These Pharisees who are supposed to be the people that are guiding others in God's law and helping them to follow it. And yet these were the guys that were so full of pride and hypocrisy. They were so caught up and self-absorbed in themselves. A bit of context, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they weren't too fussing Jesus. They didn't really like what he was teaching and the way he was getting on, the things that he was doing. And so they were trying to trip him up. They're trying to get to discredit his ministry, trying to make him make mistakes and trip up. The Sadducees in Matthew 22, they had tried and they'd failed. And the Pharisees looking on as they saw that the Sadducees being silenced by Jesus, they in their pride turn and think, do you know what? Surely we as religious leaders are good enough to put him in his place. Surely we'll get one up on him. And so they decide to test Jesus. They ask him, what is the most important commandment? And here, in the midst of them, in Matthew 23, as they, at the end of 22, try to discredit Jesus, Jesus decides to the crowd to shine a bit of light on what these guys are really like. You see, the Pharisees, for them, religion had become all about themselves and not about God. They made it all about themselves. They were caught up in their pride. And Jesus decides to point to a few of the things that they were doing that was making them prideful. We see in verse 4, if we read it, he says, they tied up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. They were putting all these burdens and these levels that people had to try and reach. They were putting them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves were not willing to lift a finger to move them because they felt like they were better. They were always the people that were looking down on others. We've mastered it. We are great. And if you could ever just achieve our level, you would be great. They saw themselves as better than others. In verse 5, we see how in their pride, everything they were doing was to be done to be seen by men. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at how long I pray. Look at all the scriptures that I know. Look at everything that I do. They wanted everybody's eyes to be on them when they should have been the people that were pointing others towards God. They were doing everything to be seen by man. In verse 6, he says, they love the place of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogue. They love that place of being held in high regard by others. They love to be in the center of attention. And in verse 7, it says, if I can find it, they love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. These guys that were supposed to be teaching people the scriptures ended up being stumbling blocks for everybody else. They ended up trying to get people's focus to be on themselves rather than God. And here Jesus has had enough of it. And he decides to challenge it. He shines a bit of light on how these guys were getting caught up in themselves, making religion, making everything about them, rather than pointing others towards Jesus, towards God. That's why he says that don't be called rabbi because you've only one master. Don't be called teacher because Christ is your only teacher. Don't be called father because you only have one true heavenly father. In church, what happens when we allow pride to creep into church? Church becomes about us and less so about God. We begin to want people to conform and do things the way we want or expect them to do, which becomes stumbling blocks sometimes for people just freely coming in and worshiping and meeting with God. We make it about the way I want it to be. I want us to sing the songs that I want us to sing. I want us to use the version of the Bible that I want us to read. I want us to do the things that I want us to do. We get annoyed whenever we don't. Sometimes in church we can make church about us rather than about what church is all about. It's about us as God's people. We're called to be a community, not an individual. And so church is about us coming together and worshiping God. Who cares how old or new the song is? If it's in line with God's word, let's just be grateful that we can come together and praise him together. Does it really matter what version of the Bible it is? Yes, there's arguments that the certain versions are a lot closer to the original than other ones. But here's the thing, if somebody's picking up their Bible and reading it, that's a great start. And so we can encourage each other from that point. Pride, when it creeps in the church, we end up being ununited with each other. Pride has no place in church. Pride, it never ever advances. It never ever builds up. All it does is destroy. These Pharisees were supposed to be the people encouraging others, and yet in making it about themselves, wanting people to focus on themselves, they were causing damage in the kingdom of God. They were causing stumbling blocks for others. You see how pride is not a good thing? See how pride never leads to winning? Pride has no place in the church. You see throughout the whole story of the Bible where pride always leads to defeat. Lucifer and his pride was kicked out of heaven. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they were kicked out of the garden. We, because of our disobedience and our selfishness and our sin, are separated from God because we become selfish and wanting our own heart's desires. Do you see how pride only destroys, it never builds? And so, if pride leads to defeat, then what leads to winning? What leads to winning is us surrendering. Us surrendering our all to God. That's why we're looking at this series over the next while in church in the evenings. Because in us surrendering, or in other words, us humbling ourselves before God, we become winners. We become winners in his eyes because we become part of his kingdom. And so we, as a church, we as Christians, guys, every day, every moment of our lives, we need to be humbling ourselves before God. And so what does that look like? If life is not all about us, what is life about? Before Matthew 23 and Matthew 22, see, the Pharisees asked Jesus a question to try and trip him up. What is the most important commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Life is not about us. Life is not about what we want. Life is about loving God and loving people. So we need to humble ourselves each and every day before God. And we need to show humility towards others. And so tonight I want to look a wee bit at that. The world says, be a go-getter, do it yourself. Life is all about you. But we need to surrender ourselves. We need to be people who are humble. And so what does that look like? I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to remember who we are. When it comes to humbling ourselves and why we need to humble ourselves, we need to remember who we are and who God is. The Pharisees in Matthew 20:23, they were making everything about themselves. Look how great we are. Look at everything that we know. Look at everything that we're doing. Turn your focus on us and follow us rather than follow God. But they were, in a sense, exalting themselves. And that's why in verse 12, Jesus says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. The thing is, there is nothing about me that means you should ever follow me. The thing is, there's nothing about any of us that makes us good enough or worthy enough to ever be exalted, to be ever be put in this pedestal by anybody else. The reason being is because every single one of us in the room are in the same boat. As Jesus said, you're all brothers. Romans 3:23 says that all have fallen short. That means all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are in this place of needing his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. All of us are in that same boat. And so there is nothing about us that means we should ever exalt ourselves. The world paints this picture of that you should seek the glory in everything that you do. And yet for us as Christians, in everything we do, it should never be about us. It should always be about giving God the glory. We need to humble ourselves before God, because we are in need of him in our lives. And for some of us, we've done that, and we should continue to do that in our lives. We should continue in everything that we do to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Every aspect of us, every part of our being, we should be surrendering and giving over to him. But maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're a place and you've never come before God and humbled yourself before him. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. Something that every single one of us needs to do. Pride makes you feel like you are not in need of God. And the reality is, we are called to humble ourselves before him. That's what the Bible teaches us. There are so many different verses in the Bible that talk about how we need to humble ourselves and the goodness that comes from that. When we humble ourselves, we find favor and grace and love and forgiveness. We become winners when we humble ourselves before God because we become his. We become his children. And so we need to humble ourselves before God. I want to look at another passage really quickly. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. It's entitled, Submit Yourselves to God. I just want to look at a wee bit to do with this. First one says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill, you covet. You can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know the friendship of the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Here in James 4, James gets us to think about consider what are the things that are causing quarrels and fights and arguments among yourselves. He shines light on how it's us seeking our own desires, us wanting things for ourselves. Pride creeping in is what is causing quarrels and fights among the church. He points to the fact that being a friend of the world and seeking to be like the world, this world that tells you that life is all about you and only yourself, in being a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. And he encourages us instead to draw close to God, to surrender our all over to him, to take all of us, every part of our being, our entirety, and surrender it, submit it, humble it before God. In other words, love God with every part of you, your heart, your soul, your mind. What I find really interesting is how much in this passage that we're pointed in James towards humbling ourselves. In the space of four verses, from verse 6 to verse 10, he says, humble or submit yourself three times. In verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In verse 7, it says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We find grace. We find the ability and the strength when we draw close to God to resist the devil. And when we do that, the devil will flee from us. He points so much to humbling ourselves before God. When we humble ourselves, guys, we become winners. When we humble ourselves, we find grace. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, he lifts us up, not in our own strength, not because of anything that we've done, but all because of Christ when we surrender and we seek his forgiveness and seek after him. The Bible's full of verses that talk about the benefits and what good comes from us choosing to humble ourselves, bringing ourselves before God and surrendering our all over to him rather than trying to do life on our own ourselves. 1 Peter 5:5 talks about how we find favor when we humble ourselves. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We find grace, we find the forgiveness for our sins, like it says here. Proverbs 11:2 says that God gives grace to the humble. Psalm 25:9 says that he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. When we humble ourselves, God teaches us and guides us how we should live our lives in light of his word. When we read it, when we learn it, when we obey it, when we apply it in our lives, we learn his ways. God's way is never to be proud, to puff ourselves up. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God is not proud. He will have us even though we have shown that we prefer everything else to him. God was the one person who had the right to be proud and to think, do you know what? They're having nothing to do with me, so I'm going to have nothing to do with them. And yet he showed us humility. He showed us humility so that we could actually come before him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and humble ourselves. He sent Jesus so that we could come and find that favor, find that grace, find that forgiveness, find that love and that acceptance. He did all of that out of love, and in return, we are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Do you see why it's so much better for us to be humble than to be proud? Pride causes disunity. Pride causes quarrels and fights. Pride makes everything about me, myself, and I. And yet we're called to be humble and not be proud. There's something that's quite scary. In verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's a number of different verses that say that. 1 Peter 5:5 says that again, that God opposes the proud but gives favor to the humble. Whenever we refuse to humble ourselves before God, God opposes us. Whenever we remain friends with the world and instead of coming to him and seeking for his forgiveness, it says that we remain enemies of God. Every single one of us. And maybe tonight you haven't done that. Maybe tonight you've never come before God and humbled yourself and asked for his forgiveness for the things that you've done wrong, just like every single one of us. Don't let your pride stop you from doing that. Pride might tell you that people are going to think differently of you, that you're going to have to give up X, Y, and Z. Pride's going to tell you you don't need God in your life. You've got life sorted. Don't let pride stop you from coming and finding that forgiveness, finding that grace and that love. Because if you allow pride to stop you, if you choose not to humble yourself before God, well, his word says that he opposes us when we're proud. His word says that when we remain friends with the world instead of coming before him and surrendering to him, that we remain his enemy. And that's someone you don't want to be. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. See why if we want to be winners, it's better for us to surrender rather than try to do life ourselves. Love God, and then finally love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisees were meant to be the people that encouraged others, that built others up, that taught them in God's word and showed them what it meant to live that out in their lives. And yet they in their pride were becoming stumbling blocks for others. Jesus says that we're supposed to love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're supposed to encourage each other, build each other up, encourage each other and point each other towards God, not ourselves. Pride stops us from doing that at times. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the person that's your best friend, the person that's sitting beside you in church, the person that you really like, the person that encourages you, the person you look up to. But your neighbor is also the person that right now you just don't want to talk to. Your neighbor is also that person that is really doing your head in, that person that has really let you down, that person that you really see as an enemy. That person is also the person that you're called to love, to show the love of God to. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves to do that. We need to put aside our pride, what we think, what we want, what we feel, in order to show somebody God's love. 1 Peter 5, it gives us advice. It says, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Show humility to others. Why? Because if we want them to know God's love, we're going to have to show them some love. If we want to point somebody towards the fact that when they come to God and they confess their sins, we confess their sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe sometimes we're going to have to humble ourselves, and as much as we don't want to, we're going to have to forgive somebody for the things that they've done wrong in our lives. We've got to put aside our pride in order to point others towards God and to love others. Maybe put aside what we think and what we want. Love your neighbor as yourself. Me, in my pride, if I just discourage those who discourage me, if I make church all about me and life all about what I want, if I refuse to show love and forgiveness to other people, all that's going to do is not advance God's kingdom. It's only ever going to damage it. It's never going to build God's kingdom. How many people do you know that have left church because somebody's hurt them before? How many people do you know that somebody said something to them and they've, as a result, they've turned away from God or left church because they've said something really, really silly? I'll share a story with you. I have a friend who was actually a youth leader when I was younger, and his granny, he could never get to come to church, and he managed one time to get her to come to church, but she sat in a seat that was somebody else's seat. This person just had an absolute go at her for sitting in their seat, and she never went back. Never went back to church. Where's the love in that? Where's God's love in that? Do you see how pride has no place in church? Do you see how pride only damages and never builds up? But yet if we're humble, if we humble ourselves before God, if we show humility towards others, show them His love, it is so much better. We need to be humble towards God and show humility towards others. Tonight, folks, I just want to encourage you. If you want to win, then we need to surrender. Life is not about us. It's all about God. We need to humble ourselves before God and show humility to others. Why? Because if we want, it's what we're called to do. And if we want to see His kingdom advance and not our own, then we need to humble ourselves. If we want to grow and flourish as His disciples, then we need to humble ourselves. Why should we be humble? Because for us as Christians, for us as the church, life is not about us. For us, life is about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Every part of who we are, life is about loving our neighbor as ourself, seeking to do all that God has called us and asked us to do. Loving Him, serving Him, humbling ourselves before Him, and showing His love and grace towards others. And so this week, in school, work, home, I want to encourage you, make this week where your focus, your main focus is today, I'm going to love you, God, and with every single part of who I am. I'm going to do the things that You've called me, commanded me, and taught me to do in Your word. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to humble myself before You today, God, and allow You to guide me and to lead me, because that will lead me to being a winner, because following You is the best thing that I could ever, ever do, rather than following myself or following the world. And God, help me to show love and humility towards others, even when that's really hard for me to do at times. Love God, love people. Like I said, maybe tonight you don't know God. Maybe tonight something's been really holding you back. Maybe it is pride that something is holding you back from coming to God and seeking His forgiveness. Don't let something that only leads to destruction and defeat to stop you from coming to God. I can encourage you more to humble yourself and realize that when you do that, He'll give you grace. He'll give you favor. He'll give you wisdom. He'll teach you what it means to be His follower and His disciple. That starts, you being a winner starts with you surrendering. Tonight you have that opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't allow something like pride to stop you. Love God and love people. In this battle of pride versus humility, we're called to be humble. Humble and humility always wins. And let's be people, let's be a church that are humble before God and show His love and humility towards others. Let's say no to pride. Something that we can't get rid of in our lives is something that we can only get rid of when we come and we surrender to Him. Let's say no to pride. Let's pray.